Father, we want to thank you again that you are the promise keeper. You are our way maker. Lord, you're everything to us that we need. We thank you so much. Now, Lord, breathe on this word. Breathe on your people. Let them have ears to hear, eyes to see, and an understanding heart. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, let us all say amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. I got about three openings for you this morning. Three main scriptures that we want to look at. Three, maybe four. But I want to begin talking about the things I spoke of earlier about Apostle. And that Friday night did something to me. I don't know whoever had a chance to watch it Friday night, Money Coming to You conference. But he went back to some prophetic words that God gave him way back in 1978. Yes, sir. He said, they were given to him. Gloria Copeland said, I believe this is for you. It was concerning his ministry. Yes, sir. And I want to say it was concerning his agenda that God had for him. Yes, sir. I want to say it was dealing with the apostolic assignment. Yes, sir. That God had for him almost 40 years ago. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. And I got to thinking, where was I 40 years ago? Uh-huh. I know 1970, my wife and I were married in 78, so I had no idea I'd be here in 78. Some of you, some were already here. I thought about Ms. Audrey Gwynn and Wilbur and some of the others that were here, Charles and some of the others that were here way back in 78 when God already had this assignment in mind. Then I thought about Jeremiah. Because some of you all weren't even born in 1978. And I thought about that. That before, you know, you were formed in your mother's womb, God said, I called you. Yeah. So I'm saying that we, you, are not here by accident. Yes, God had you in mind over 40 years ago. Yes, God knew that he was going to put this word in our apostle's mouth. Almost 40 years ago. And I said, wow. I said, Lord, I said, you really love me. You really love us. Because everyone here is in here particularly. And I began to think about how I got here. And I know you all got testimonies. We got people driving here from my house. How I got here. You know, I never gave that testimony to the church, but years ago, my wife and I was in the church where we was going to before. I won't call it church name, but I was in the Catholic church. And I heard the Lord for the first time. Well, I didn't know it was the Lord. But I said, Lord, what's my job as a Christian? And you ever asked a question, didn't expect an answer? Because I was one that didn't believe God talked to nobody. I said, God don't talk to nobody. And so, when I said it, I heard a voice say, tell someone about Jesus. And I looked around to see who had said that. I looked at my wife. My wife always was dedicated to the Lord. And she was right there, socket into the mass And I realized it was the Lord. Yeah. And these frightening words came out of my mouth. I said, Lord, I don't know nothing about Jesus. It was frightening to me after I said it. Because how can I tell somebody but someone I knew of him. But I mean, church didn't know Jesus. And that was hard for me to swallow. So I go and find my brother. My brother Donald, at the time, was connected to Apostle. Yes, They worked together for years. As a matter of fact, he got saved. My brother got saved through apostles' ministry. And so I go look for him because he's the closest one I knew to Christ. I had other family members, but if you know like me, a lot of preachers didn't live right. No, they didn't live right. I had uncles that were pastors and ministers, and it bothered me. I said, Lord, anybody living right for you? Because I saw it with my eyes. I saw too much. Anybody can agree with me? I saw too much with my eyes. I heard too much with my ears. And it affected me and me coming to the Lord. So don't think your life don't mean nothing to nobody else. Don't think nobody watching your lifestyle. They're watching you. Maybe they won't see when you fall, but they're watching you. Make a lie out of them. But anyway, make a long story short, he took me on his wing and he brought me to Mount Zion Baptist Church down the street. A lot of you haven't even been down there. But it was a Wednesday night Bible study. And God know what you need to hear when you need to hear it. And, you know, I heard him teaching, but he stopped in the middle of the I'm going to talk way back in. This had to be somewhere 80. Ms. Artis said 82, but I don't quite remember. I say 83, she said 82, but she know better than me. But anyway, he stopped. He said, I got one girlfriend and one wife, and they're both the same person. I said, man, can't be telling the truth. Because I saw too much with my eyes. I heard too much with my ears. But he's been a man of integrity all the years I've been knowing him. Man, love God. And at that time, you know, I was able to drop in by his house, you know, unannounced. And my plan was to catch him not in the word. I couldn't do it. I said, every time I go there, he's in the Bible. I said, well, see, can I catch him out the Bible? Never could. Always was a stickler for the word of God. Who are you preaching about? About a man preaching about our apostle. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for his apostolic calling. But I began to think about that. And he's not ordinary. No, sir. What do I mean not ordinary? I don't know. I'm speaking for me. I don't know another pastor, apostle, teacher to the level and the depth and the love that he had for us as his children. I don't know nobody else. So I can't talk about nobody else. Maybe you know, but I don't. He's rare. Me and Brother D were talking. We were talking about rare. Some things are rare. Everybody here is rare. I mean rare. What do you mean? I mean, it's hard to find people committed like this in the local church. Love God. 30 degrees out and we're still here. But turn to me, and I got some scripture that I want to show you. 1 Kings 19 chapter. We're going to begin at verse 19. And I just got to share this with you. I got some old testimonies. Maybe another time I get to share some other things that really, this ministry saved my life. Am I by myself? Okay. 1 Kings 19, verse 19. Now, if you read the whole story, Jezebel had got behind Elijah and said she was going to kill him because he slayed all the prophet. And so some other things transpired. He had to anoint some people that God told him to anoint. That 19th verse said, so he departed thence and found Elijah. Underline that word found in your Bible. He found Elijah. That means when you find someone, you're looking for him. He set out specifically looking for Elijah. God commissioned Elijah I mean, God commissioned Elijah to specifically find Elijah. So here's my point. You're not a random choice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Our apostle is not a random choice.
Yes, sir.
God, didn't that song, I Search All Over?
Yes.
But God had to search the earth to find a man with a heart.
Yes.
Apostle asked a question one time. He said, you know, and I'm going to ask the question. Do we really know who he is? Do we really, did the children of Israel really knew who Moses was? It was like a disguise. When I say well, like a disguise, Moses meant good for them.
Yes, sir.
But at the same time, the people, they got so stuck in their ways.
Yes, sir.
I wonder why people get stuck in their ways and want to do things their own way.
Yes,
when God always got a better way.
Right. Yes,
but sometimes God's better way is disguised.
Yes. Yes,
God don't show us everything he wants to do. But you got to trust him that he's going to bring you where you need to go. They went to the Red Sea.
Come on.
And instead of having expectation that God, they said, this man's sitting here to drown us. This man brought us out of Egypt, a land they call milk and honey, to kill us here in this wilderness. They didn't understand the power of God, that God was going to work through this great man of God. Sometimes we as humans don't always understand how God MO is, how God operates, how God functions, how God thinks. God don't think like we think. We think 1, 2, 3. God think way beyond our capacity of understanding. But through revelation. God used revelation knowledge to reveal to us his plans, his will, and his purpose. And only those that know how to receive revelation can follow a true man of God. So God is looking for people of revelation. People know how to search the word of God, hear the word of the prophet, and believe what he says, and follow by revelation.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm going to show you something here. I'm going to show you why some people or follow a little while, and then after you wonder where they are, and then you know, it leaves questions in your mind. You still in that 19th chapter of 1 Kings?
Yes, sir.
Let me read that 19th verse again, and it's going to take us to the beginning of our lesson. It says, so he departed thence and found Elijah, the son of Japheth, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Elijah, the prophet, passed by Elisha, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, he with the 12, passed by and cast his mantle upon him. See, God didn't give him no further instruction. I remember years ago, I'm riding in the van with Apostle Thompson, and he was studying. He was going to preach somewhere. That time, we used to travel, and we used to go with him. He had a team, the choir used to go with him. And he was, I was sitting right across from him in the van, and the Lord had given me a vision, but me being called, and I'm all excited, you know. I believe God didn't call me. And I looked at Apostle, and he was studying. I didn't want to really interrupt him, but thing was in my heart so much, I had to stop him. I said, Pastor, I said, I believe I'm called. He stopped looking at me. You not called. And went back to studying. I said, God. I said, Lord, what am I going to do with this? Months later, I told him, you know, that I know him called. He said, yeah, I knew you was called. I just couldn't call you. He said, you got to know it for yourself, son. He said, what are you saying? You got to get a revelation from God that you were called. See, that was the apostolic way back then. I mean, at no other way. I would have knew, like I know. Nobody can talk me out of it because he showed me how to go to God and find out what's what. And he couldn't call. He said, man, I can't call you, son. I said, okay, so I got that. Amen. Now, where was I going? I stopped, took that little side trip. Yeah, okay, let me back up then. Okay, so here over here in Kings, yeah, let me tell you about this man here. I got it. Elisha, God told the prophet, I just want you to lay your mantle on him. That's the only instruction he had. He laid his mantle upon Elisha. And then let's read the next verse. I don't want to get ahead of the scriptures. Look what the next verse said. And he left the oxen, 20 verse, and ran after Elijah. Underline ran after Elijah. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. Underline, then I will follow thee. And then I will follow thee. I'm not going to finish the end of that verse yet, but let me explain this one. So, what the prophet did was, he just laid the man upon him, and according to the scripture, he didn't even stop. He didn't even stop to let Elisha ask him any question or tell him any word from God. He didn't have a word from God or anything. He just laid the mantle. See, that's more like that dream I had. You see? But the scripture said he ran after Elijah. Then the Lord told me, he ran without a revelation. And so often, people run after other ministries, after other people that think that they're spiritual father, after people that think that they're apostle, without a revelation. So, why is that so important? He ran without a revelation. And look what's going to happen. This is what the apostle did to me. You see it? Look what the apostle said. He ran without a revelation. We in that 20 verse, right? And he said unto him, go back again. You're not called. For what have I done to thee? What have I done to make you run after me? Who told you to follow me? Who told you to come after me? I didn't tell you. I didn't put a mail upon you. Well, here's the importance of this thing. Here's the importance of him sending him back. You see, because when he sent him back, he's saying, go back and find out who told you to call to follow me. Go back and get a revelation. Go back and find out why you're doing what you're doing. What does that mean? What does that mean? What it means is that sometimes people follow after emotions. They follow after feeling. They follow after popularity. And God ain't told nothing, told him anything. And when the going get tough, the tough get going. Oh, apostle, I'm with you. Until things get too tough for me. I'm with you. See, Elijah was a rough man. Elijah didn't play. Elijah was a rough prophet. He almost was a mean prophet. But God knew that whatever he told Elijah, he was going to do it. That's the difference. That's the difference. So he had to go back and get a revelation. You see it? And then he said, let me go first and kiss my mother and my father, and then I will follow you. And then I will follow you. No. No, that's not going to work either. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen, 21st verse, and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instrument of the oxen. See, this is after he got a revelation. I'm going to tell you what the revelation was. And he gave unto the people, and there did he. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. See that word, minister to him? That means he served them. You don't see it here, but two mantles fell. Two mantles fell. The first mantle was when he laid it on him. That's what the serving mantle. Some people don't want that mantle. I don't want to serve nobody. I want to go right into my ministry. I ain't serving nobody. But that's what the first man. So the first mantle is not to be the prophet. Now, if you read the scripture further up, the Lord told Elijah, I want you to go anoint Elisha to be prophet in thy stead. When you leave him, he's going to be the prophet. But when he's not going to be the prophet when you anoint him. You're going to anoint him to be a servant. Don't miss that.
Yes,
sir. The first anointing is to be a servant.
Yes,
you got to have that servant spirit.
Yes,
people get messed up because they grab the second anointing, the second mantle and miss the first. You see, this is not shouting and running, preaching. You're a servant. Oh, I'm running around the church because I'm a servant. No. That means servant means you got to serve. You got to take the back seat. You got to stay in the background sometimes. Servant means you're just under instructions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're under orders. Just like in the military. I ain't never been to the military. But I know some people been in the military. Three of my brothers went to the military. And it was six boys. And my mom prayed the other three out of the service. Because you see, I can't take all that. That's too much on me. He said, three is enough. So the other three, we didn't go. But as a servant, as a private, you don't give orders.
Yes,
you take orders.
Yes, sir.
You do whatever they tell you.
Amen.
And if you disobey,
yes, sir,
give me 20 push-ups.
Yes, sir.
That's good, sir.
That's serving. Well, we in the service.
Yes,
sir.
We're serving.
Yes, sir.
Every one of us are servants of the Most High God, but under the direction of our apostle. And look, and whenever God wanted to do something in the earth realm, you heard Apostle say this, you heard Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr. say it, God always found a man every time he wanted to do something in the earth realm. But he can't do it by himself. That's what we come in at, a body of Christ. Do you know? Now, I'm not belittling anything. I'm sure how important this is. When I'm out here on this ground, when I got a project to do, I pray just as much to do my project as I do to stand behind this pulpit. What are you saying? It's just serving in a different capacity. See, my job is to help fulfill the vision. I don't have a vision. If I had a vision, somebody said it would be division. Two vision. So what I'm saying is, Apostle Paul told Timothy, his young son in the gospel, he said, I have no man like-minded. Wow. You know? He said, because everybody else want their own. Yeah. Said, oh, Lord, what did he just say? Yeah. And not the things of God. They want to go after their own. Yeah. Can I say this? Some people, now, don't take me wrong. I'm just saying it because that's me. I don't have a ministry. I don't know if you understand that. My ministry is to serve my apostle. And whatever capacity, you see, that's the help. I'm in the help and whatever capacity. People don't understand the help ministry. Whatever, they think it's just a little menial calling. Whatever the help ministry desire, that's what I do. If you're pressure washing the parking lot, if you're working on a lawnmower, if you're painting the wall, if you're vacuuming the floor, whatever it is, that's the help ministry. And I tell you what, that's an important calling that people miss. Help me, Lord. But I just want to see where I'm going here, because I want to show you some other things here. I'm showing you how we can get where we're going much faster if we go with the flow and not. They got some things that when you want to slow down, They will drop them and help stop. I can't remember what they call that. It was, you know, when you're going, but you, like somebody got the brakes on. Yeah. It's almost like putting the brakes. Yeah. And so what I'm saying is sometimes when everybody not flowing properly in a vision, it almost like driving your car and leaving the emergency brakes on. You got to drag behind it. You know, how am I saying that? I'm trying to see how I'm going to say this. It's almost when the vision is flowing, but it's still like the vision ain't flowing, like it's flowing because it feels like it got brakes on. But when everybody take their brakes off, the emergency brakes off, everything could go much smoother and much faster. I wish you could understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to say something without saying something. You know, the more folks used to say, you can't read between the lines. Read between the lines. Because my job is to help us. And you see, wisdom goes a long ways. Apostle teaching on wisdom. Wisdom go a long ways. You see, sometimes the capacity of your service, the way you serve and the capacity that you serve, it makes a difference with wisdom. With wisdom. You know, I've been serving apostle for a long time, and God always gave me some wisdom. He would go out of town, and a lot of time I would minister when he was traveling. He was the Hague of ministry, and he used to always say, Ron, you got a free course. And I said, no, I don't. I said to myself, no, I don't. I'm not taking no free course. I said, no, I'm not. Never took liberty. Why? Because I respect my apostle so much. You see, I was never trying to promote myself. I always taught messages that would undergird what he's already taught. message to build up the help ministry and the servant ministry and how to submit properly to leadership. You see? Not how many revelations I got. Never brought out a new revelation. I got a new revelation. No, that wasn't my job. It was an apostle's job to bring out revelation knowledge. See, what am I doing? What am I saying? I'm showing how not to be a drag. How to keep the brakes off so a pastor can flow. He can go today and don't have to worry about me bringing some crazy revelation and messing people up. I remember he was out of town one time, and I don't want to call this man's name, but he preached a revelation, and a pastor had to come back and straighten everything out, and it was just way off somewhere, but... I said, I don't want that to be me. See, not going to be me. Amen. Why? Because our job is to be help. Yeah. And what the other word? And not hindrance. Yes. Walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hindrance is when you get in the flesh and you're trying to do something on your own. Now, I didn't mean to say all that, but it didn't come out now. It's the truth. Now, watch this. Now, here's the revelation that God gave him when he went back. You see, God will always give a revelation if you ask him for it. Because God knew he needed a man after Elijah's heart. Somebody to think like Elijah. If he was going to wear Elijah's anointing, he had to have the substance. The capability. He had to have the makeup. Yeah. Yeah. He had to have the training. Yeah. So what God did, God permitted him to serve a while. Yeah. To learn this man. Yeah. Serving wasn't so much to wash his hands and to wash his feet. No, service to learn. Yeah. Learn about your man of God. Yeah. Learn what pleases him and what displeases him. Learn what vexes his spirit and what don't vex his spirit. Right. Our job on staff. And so he don't get vexed. That's our purpose. That he can come and he can flow without any hindrance or vexation. That should be our job. Am I helping you or hurting you? Now what? Now here's the revelation that God gave Elisha when the prophet told him to go back again. When he went back again. And when he went back to the field, I called it the plow field experience. When he went back into the plow field, the Lord said, hey, as long as I live, as long as Elijah lives, I don't want you to leave him. Wow. How I know that what he said? Because he rehearsed it more than once. That just didn't come up all at once. No, he had been rehearsing that. He'd been reminding himself what the Lord had told him. See, not so much what people tell you, what the Lord tell you. The Lord put it in Elisha's heart. As long as I live, Lord said, I'm going to live forever. As long as he lives, I don't want you to leave him. I call that a lifetime commitment. He made a commitment for life. We don't see that too much. That's rare. Because people don't want to stay enough long enough to make a lifetime commitment. They don't stay long enough to see their grandchildren get saved in the church. And their children get married. They don't stay long enough because they got their own thing they want to do. Am I telling the truth? Then I know nobody here like this, but some people say, God just sent me here for a season. And when the season is over, God ain't on see. God, I'm the same yesterday. That sounds like season. Today and forever. Lifetime commitments. God is looking for lifetime commitments. People serve for a lifetime. God called families. God called families to a local church where they can grow and pass on inheritance after inheritance after inheritance and teach your children. and keep teaching your children. And they all grow up knowing the same thing, confessing the same thing, seeing the same thing, rehearsing the miracles and the signs and the wonders that God has done through the hands of a man of God. I'm telling the whole truth. Now, I want you to look at another scripture here. Sometimes people get off a little bit. Look in John 21. And I want you to see something here. Jesus had appeared to the disciples. This was his third trip here. Two times earlier, you remember the time when he walked through the wall, and remember on Emmanuel's Road, and this the third time he appeared before him, John 21 and 1 here. Okay. Just go with me a little bit, because I'm going to do a little bit of reading here. Look what he says here. The first verse says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. He's setting the stage now. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, that James and John, and two others of his disciples. So it was seven of them in all, right? Peter always was kind of like a leader here. Peter always kind of took charge of everything. You know, you remember when he cut the man's ear off, and he said, Lord, I ain't gonna never leave you. And then before the cock crow, Jesus had to rebuke him one time. Said, no, Lord, you never. So Peter was an outspoken, he's always made the first move. So watch what his words say. I want you to underline a word here. Simon Peter said unto them, underline I. You see it? What do you say? I what? I go fishing. He didn't say, let us go fishing. I looked at that for a little while. I said, this is something here, Lord. He didn't say, let us go fishing. He said, I'm going fishing. Now, if he won't go fishing, that's fine. But I got a point here I'm going to throw at you. Never let Jesus find you in the same position he found you. And he said it again. Never let Jesus find you in the same position he found you. When he first found Peter, what they were doing? They were fishing. Now Jesus then resurrected from the dead. Jesus then already told him what his assignment was, what his agenda was, and what he expected out of them. He taught them for 3.5 years, and then meanwhile, he ain't got nothing to do but go fishing. There wasn't no time to go fishing. So I go fishing, but now they got these others. See, disciple wasn't perfect. They were learning just like us. We make mistakes. They made mistakes. I go fishing. All right? And look what happened after that. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They all want to go fishing. You know I want to say something here. I'm trying to figure out how to say it. It's all right if you won't go fishing, but don't drag everybody fishing with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Say it. Help me how to say this, Lord.
Come on, sir.
Help me, Lord. I'm just trying to find the right word. You don't have to. Let other people. See, Peter had the type of personality that when you say something, everybody, what that commercial? When somebody else speaks, everybody listens. I can't think of that man's name. Yeah. So when Peter spoke, I mean, he was favorable. He had that type of personality. Some people got that personality that everybody just go with them. They don't know where they're going sometimes. You might take them to a bar room somewhere. Let's go, man. Jesus might be there. You know, but what happened is Peter had that type of character. Don't let nobody take you where you don't want to go. Don't let nobody talk you into nothing you don't want to be talked into. Now, so what happened here? He said, I go fishing. Now, he knew they were going to go fishing with him. He just knew that type of person. We all going with you. So they all went fishing. Now, look what happened after they went fishing here. If you notice, they fished all night long. You know, I talked to my wife 3 o'clock this morning. And we were reading the scripture 3 o'clock this morning. And so I was telling her, I said, it's something we know when you're out the will of God. Yeah. Look, I like to fish. I've been fishing when I knew I shouldn't have been fishing. Yeah. Didn't catch a thing. Yeah. I mean, fish all day long. See, I got a brother that I go fishing with. He'll fish all day long and don't catch nothing. You know what? They will bite in a little while. They always gonna bite after a while. Anybody ever done that? They gonna bite after a while, and they never bite after a while. And then I saw a commercial. Excuse me, Lord. I saw a commercial. I like to watch these fishing shows. This man said, if I cast one more time, my arm gonna fall off. So he cast, and you see his arm going with it. I said, that's so funny. But what happened was, they caught zero. They caught nothing. Out of the will of God sometimes, it's a terrible thing. You ever been somewhere you knew you shouldn't have been? Say, Lord, I knew I shouldn't have come here. I knew I shouldn't have went there. You just, something just deep down in your spirit, you knew I shouldn't have gone. I should have stayed myself home. I could have been doing so many other productive things. Now, I spent all day long doing this with these people. Now, watch. I'm almost through. Watch this now. But when the morning was come, full verse, and so they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the other disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Wow. Something when the Lord get in the midst of a situation. All right. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it was 200 cubits, some say that was about 100 yards, dragging a net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coal there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring up the fish which you have now caught. Now I'm getting to where I need to get to. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. It was a miracle right in his sight. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and give it to them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, okay, this is it. He said, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, Lovest thou me more than these? Simon Peter, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? See, I had trouble with this scripture because I didn't know if the these were you talking about the disciples. You know, you love me more than these other disciples, or the fishing rig and the equipment and everything that was, you know, had to do with what they were doing. You see? Now, it makes sense more, both ways it makes sense. See, because some theologians say he was talking about Peter, you know, he made a break. He jumped out of the boat. And to get there to Jesus before him, another was saying that I love you more than the rest of them by him just making an action, a performance. Some people function through performance. Make it look like I'm with you. Look like I love you. And then, but you know, really, sometimes action don't mean nothing. And so, but the other scenario is, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these boats and fishing? And, you know, you know, my assignment is far more greater than these. Or you could look at it another way and say, if you love me more than these, then I want you to prove it by doing the certain things I want you to do. But I kind of doubt that second part, because I don't think Jesus would have said that in front of the other guys. He's not the author of confusion. And so I look at it that way. You know, he loved them all. So he had to be talking about your old way of doing things. You love me more than your old way of doing things? The old way you function? You want to go back to doing what you used to do? The way you used to think? The way you used to believe? I don't want to go back to where I used to believe about money. I had some crazy belief about money. Am I by myself? So I don't want to go back to these. I don't want to go back. I don't go back to this old way of thinking, way of doing things. See, this revelation, apostle, has set me free in so many areas of my life. I don't want to go back. Jesus said, if a man put a hand to the plow and look back, he's not even fit for the kingdom of God. So I'm not going back. I don't understand how, can I say this? You know I was going to want to say it anyway. But I don't know how people can leave this church. And what you going to get? I don't know. Did that come out right? How you going to get what we get in here? You say, I'm not saying that no other church is teaching the word. But my goodness, I don't know. How you going to, it's so much. Apostle leave with so much. After he preached, he still leave, bring a lot back with him. Because he got so much to give us. You don't warm the same old biscuit. You ever bake a biscuit and try to warm it over again? The microwave, make it soft and it ain't crunchy no more. It just ain't fresh. I don't want no more old biscuits. He's taking us to maturity. Taking us to places we've never been before. I think the way I've never thought before. About God, about Jesus, about healing, about health, about family, about love, about peace, about communion. He gave a revelation on communion I never heard before. How can you go back? How can you sit somewhere and it pulling everything out of you what you've been taught over the years? I can't do it. Apostle, he taught me, I never forget. He said, always park where you can get out. You go somewhere, always park where nobody jam you in and block you in. Always be able to get out. See, even if I got to walk a little bit, I'm not getting jammy. When I hear something that don't go with my spirit, my ear, I'm going. You can stay there. I don't care if I'm with family. I don't care who it is. I'm not letting nobody put nothing, no junk in my ears. What God had placed in me is so precious. I'm not letting nothing rob it from me. You got to hold fast to what you learned. You know, sometimes people like to go visit these. I ain't going to visit nobody. I'm sorry. Family day, grandma day, Halloween day. I don't care what day it is. I ain't going back. I ain't going back. I'm sorry. I love you. I just can't go. You can go, but I can't go. I'm sorry. You're going to be mad at me. I'm talking family. I'm sorry, mama. But I just can't go. Why? You get to the place where you just, you become bold enough. I'm not saying it in a disrespectful way. Say no, I just can't go. I just can't go. Amen. Amen. You got to protect your heart. What the prophet put in us is too valuable to let somebody drain it out of us. So let me finish this now. So all right, verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fish, 153, and for all there were so many, and all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine, and then the disciple doth ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. And then let's skip down to the 15th verse. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than thee? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, you know that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lamb. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou know that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time. See, when God keep repeating himself, he's trying to get something over. He was telling them, don't forget the assignment. Don't forget the agenda. Don't forget the purpose why I died. I didn't die in vain. I died for my lamb and my sheep. I died to set men free. Yes. Not for you to go fishing. Yes. And do your own thing. Yes. Your own agenda. Yes. Follow after your own ideas. Some people follow after their own ideas. And not the thing which of Christ. Amen. So you have to make some correction. Peter had to see this. Lord, you know I love you. Yes, sir. Yeah. Then that third time, see, Peter got kind of grieved. Then the 18th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girded thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. I hope there's a revelation in him. He said, when you're young, he said, you gird yourself. And you're able to go where you want to go. And not let nobody lead you to where you don't want to go. That's what he's saying. He said, don't let nobody take you where you don't want to go. Let them say things unto you that you don't want to hear, and you just sit there and listen to it. I'm not listening to what I don't want to hear. He said, but when you get old, you don't have that luxury. Because now you're under control of men. They take you where they want to take you and tell you what they want to tell you, and nothing you can do about it. Don't let that happen to you. Now, why just now? Why just? This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, what did he say unto him? Now underline that. He said unto him, follow me. You follow me. What do you mean follow me? Follow me physically? Just get behind me and follow me physically? No, follow my ways of doing things. Follow my instructions. Follow the agenda that I have set before you. I've already set before you a pattern. You stick with that pattern. You follow what I've told you. You remember what I've told you. Don't let nobody tell you what I didn't tell you. Don't let nobody change what I've said. Are you listening to me? Now, watch what's fixing to happen here now. Watch what's fixing to happen here. Then Peter turned about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, what he was doing. Following. You see, now, Jesus had to have, this had to be almost like a one-on-one conversation with Peter. But then Peter looked back, and now you see, John was following. They could have been walking. You know, he saw John following. And now Peter fit to get in error again. Peter won't know something that ain't his business. Peter trying to go into somebody else's business. Peter trying to compare what God doing with one person to another. See, if you don't watch it, the enemy will trick you like that. He'll have you looking at one thing and then envy and strife will get between you. Well, Lord, what about them? What are they going to do? Well, watch what Peter said. Watch. Okay, and say, Lord, which is it he that betrayed thee? That's continuing with the other scripture. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Lord, what shall this man do? Now you think about it a little while. Lord, what shall this man do? I'm waiting a little bit because I want you to think about it. Pause and think about that. Because a lot of time, we're so concerned about what others are doing that you don't focus on what God told you to do. So, Jesus will correct him. You know what God told you? Know what you should be doing? The last thing God told you to do. And that's what the problem with the beginning. Peter should have been doing the last thing God had told him to do, and he went fishing, and now he won't know. Jesus gave him instruction, you feed my lambs and feed my sheep. Now, in your business, Peter got to do is concentrate on what the Lord told him to do, no matter what anybody else do. Catch what I'm saying? No matter what other people do, that's none of your business. You do what you keep doing what God told you to do. Yes, and then God gonna keep doing what he promised he'll do for you. Yes, regardless of what you do to the other person. Yes. You can't measure yourself by other people. Yes, that's not scripture, say that's not wise. Uh-huh. They say measure themselves by themselves. Yes, say that's not wise. You just focus on how God told you to serve. I tell you what, that's blessings. Yes, Anything God tell you to do that's blessing. Now, my time up. I got to read one scripture right quick. Go to Psalm 138 and 8. Count down. Psalm 138 and 8. I'm a quote it for you. I'm a quote it. And y'all look it up. Psalm 138 and 8 in the Message Bible. You know what it says?
Yes, sir.
Lord, finish what you started in me. That thing God told you, how God told you to follow,
yes, sir.
I don't want to just start out. I won't finish. I won't finish what God told me to do with my apostle. Amen. Now, Father, I thank you so much. We thank you for your word, Lord. Let this word go down in the spirit, Lord, that you allow me to speak it. Let every ear be open to receive. And let us follow hard after what you've told us, how to serve our apostle and how to serve this vision. And Lord, let us not be distracted in any way or form, but let us keep our vision focused. Focus on the prize, on you, on this great vision that you've given us. Lord, how to serve in our capacity that you've given us to serve in. Father, I thank you. Father, we praise you. Father, we glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.